Welcome back. This is Address Unknown, episode number 15. We have been traveling around the beautiful country of Vietnam, and because we're spending a good amount of time here, we'll be splitting this into two episodes. In this episode, we'll be talking about the southern part of the country. Then we'll return in episode 16, where we'll be talking about the middle to northern parts. Two episodes are needed for this one. It's worth a listen.
Right, let's get into Vietnam. We boarded a three-hour flight with a one-hour time change from Manila to Saigon. About 4 days before we left for the Philippines, we used an online third-party Vietnam Discover Travel to secure a quick turn 90-day visa. With these visas, you can either get single entry or multiple entry. The multiple entry will cost you a bit more. And basically, there's only a 30-day visa or a 90-day visa. There's no 60-day option. So we knew you were going to be here for longer than 30 days. So we applied for and got a single entry 90-day visa, which cost us about $70 each. I do not believe that you can get a visa upon arrival in Vietnam. So you do need to make sure that you secure your visa ahead of time. So from the airport, it was a quick 20-minute cab ride to our hotel in Saigon. We opted to stay in District 3. Most tourists stay in either District 1 or 3, but because 3 was a little bit less touristy and it was still a quick walk to District 1 and all the destinations we wanted to see, we opted to stay there. Because Vietnam was colonized by the French, Saigon has districts much like the Renaissance in Paris. So that's kind of how the city is divided up. We loved our hotel that we stayed at in Saigon. Scylla Urban Living had an incredible, massive gym. Our room was also huge. We had a separate living, dining, and kitchen area.
Kitchenette, love that.
Yep, and a washer dryer, which was amazing.
It was like an apartment. It wasn't even in a hotel.
Yeah, we did a lot of laundry. It's the little things for us these days that just make our lives so much better. We got in very, very early, landed very early. So we went there, dropped our bags, went to grab coffee and lunch. Straight off the bat, our first meal was amazing. I'm still having dreams about it. But I gotta say, like, walking up to the restaurant, I was like, oh, shit, like, did I pick wrong? This may have been a bad choice, but it more than delivered. We got this beef taro salad, just had tons of herbs with these leaves that had this lemon flavor to them, and tons of shiso leaves, and, like, Farber gets so sick of me, but I could just literally just gnaw on shiso leaves all day long. They're so good. We also got this, and there was this dressing that was like orange juice and spice. I don't know. It was very, very good. We also got these young bamboo shoots that were incredible and some little fried squash. Way, way, way too much food.
We got lucky because usually you go to play, like your first meal, like when you get to a city, you're just hungry.
Yeah.
So you go anywhere and it's just shitty usually. And you're like, okay. Or like, you know, the likelihood of it being good and being like fresh and like right on point, it hit the spot for us.
It was so good, especially after just like a quick little Google search, but it was amazing. So way too much food, but of course Farber can't ever let a piece of food be left on the plate, so everything was consumed. And during this lunch, we learned very quickly that Vietnamese people love them some beer. Morning beers, noon beers, night beers, beer. So while we're eating lunch, these two local women come in and they ordered some food and they each got a beer. And pretty soon those beers were drank and they proceeded to order a tower of beer just for the two of them.
Right. Which is like a cylinder. If no one knows this, it's like a 2-foot plastic cylinder on a tap. And then there's like ice in the center of it.
It's normally like a party of people will get a tower of beer. I don't think I've ever seen two people.
These ladies housed it.
Yeah, they were.
It was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, something like that.
They saw us laughing at them. They laughed at us. It was great. So that, you know, just a casual Monday lunch for these ladies. So we walked around a bit. Saigon is incredibly hot and incredibly humid. I think we both were just like, wow, we have not sweat this much in a very long time. That evening, another amazing meal. We went to the Secret Garden restaurant. This was a suggestion from Bridget. So thank you, Bridget. Hidden down this alleyway and up about 8 floors of this apartment building, we both immediately felt like we were transported back to our apartment in Chinatown. So the restaurant is on the rooftop, and so you have these great views of the city and a nice, welcoming, cool breeze. We had these fresh shrimp herb rolls. We got these huge snail shells that were stuffed with not only the snail, but a snail pork mixture with lemongrass, and then this beef and vegetable dish. Listeners, I am going to apologize now in advance for how much I'm going to go on and on and on about the food here, because it has been so incredible. And I think, too, that has only been compounded by the fact that we really did not enjoy the food in the Philippines. And so this food being so fresh and not fried, we have lost that Philippine weight. I'm very happy to say.
Yeah, it's hands down the best food we've had since we left the States.
Yes.
Like, no question. We'll repeat this several times.
So after dinner, we headed back towards our hotel, and right down this little side street from our hotel, we were like, oh, there's a bar down there. Let's see what's going on. And they have live music every night. And this is kind of a common thing here where they'll have, and I think in other like Asian countries, but essentially they'll have this band. The band is the constant, right? And this was a huge band. This was like a 7 or 8 person band. And they stay on stage and these singers kind of rotate through. So each singer will come up and they have, you know, their set like 2 to 3 songs that they'll sing. So super fun, some really talented people. Of course, this older man gets up on stage and starts singing some oldies and immediately pulls me up, and I have to somehow dance with him to My Girl. That was just, it's always a joy of mine to be brought up on stage in front of people. So
that was like your first night experience. And this man was like, he had like jeans on with like red suspenders and like a fedora hat, and he was kind of like, you know, overweight, elderly man. He knew it. And he was like, that was his character, you know? And he reached out to Jonica and like grabbed her hand and pulled her up in front of everybody. And like, you had to sing along with him and you had to dance with him. And it was nice and fun enough, but
it's not really something I enjoy doing.
No. Well, she wasn't prepared, but I got it on video. So we're good.
Yeah.
All right. The next day I got up, and my first and foremost, like, thing I was going to do in Vietnam was I was going to try this Vietnamese coffee. And coffee culture here is really big. It is like, it rivals France or like America as far as like the variety of coffee and like how much people just sit and chill outside on a veranda and like drink it.
Well, because they are the second largest coffee producer in the world, only behind Brazil.
And honestly, like the Vietnamese coffee, if anybody probably has had it before, like it is just more or less espresso. It's not like a cold brew or like drip coffee. Like they make it on the spot for you for that cup of like, and then they ice it. They put condensed milk in it. They put
sweet condensed
milk as well. Yes. They put like salted froth, milk froth is one option.
Coffee is another option.
Egg white they do. It's really good. But it is not good for you. Like it's not, you know,
the food is good for you. The coffee is not. Mm-hmm.
We also took some time. We did some planning for the next few days and then went to lunch at an amazing restaurant, Spice Viet Saigon. Jonica found this place, and I had some serious doubts. Mainly the reason being it's in the base of a hotel, and I do not like eating in hotels because I generally think that the food's not that great.
Which is so weird after like living in New York and some of the best restaurants are in hotels. I don't understand why you have this like thing against it.
Maybe like on a nice 5-star hotel in New York City, the food's good, but the hotels I stay in, the food's never good. And the service is usually not great because they think it's sort of like an airport bar. They think you're in and out, you'll never return. So like there's no loyalty to either the customer and or the staff, right? So I was not excited about this. I was severely wrong. In this case.
Yeah.
It was here that we actually had the best spring rolls of the trip so far.
Of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. The food was so good. We did end up going back twice.
Yeah.
to the same place.
So good.
And you have a whole city full of restaurants, and we chose to go back twice because the food was so good.
Like I said, I will dream about these spring rolls forever. And also, these spring rolls changed how I will be making spring rolls in the future. I realized that I was making very American spring rolls, and these ones are so much better. Shiso.
So after a great lunch that I was hesitant to attend because it was in a hotel, we had a guide booked that day, a walking tour. And this was done through with locals, so it's sort of like a one-on-one experience with a local that takes you around to all the sites. Her name was Thien, and immediately it was very clear Thien was not your typical like Vietnamese citizen. And like this was obvious because she was like super anti-communist. Like she made it very clear that she would discuss anything politics with us, anything as far as like social constructs in Vietnam, which like, you know, they're very strict. And she was like, I will tell you anything you want to know. So we got very, very like personal with her on the trip, which was great because we actually got a very good understanding, I think, of like what the pros and cons of living in a communist country can be.
Mm-hmm.
We got to visit several of the well-known sites in Saigon. So we saw City Hall and the Opera House, both of which were French design when they were here colonizing for the mid-1800s to mid-1900s. We saw Notre Dame Cathedral, the post office, which was the first post office in the country. We saw Federation Palace and the War Remnants Museum, which is a very controversial, I guess, museum, you would say.
It is a Vietnam War museum. So anything having to do with war is, you know, it's depressing. And there's a lot of harsh realities. But it is interesting because, yeah, our guide was trying to point out the ways in which maybe they have skewed the information in the museum.
That's right.
And how some things are confusing, where they'll lump a bunch of things together and just put things from maybe a very different time, like perhaps like when the French were colonizing Vietnam, but put it right next to something from the Vietnam War and just kind of gloss over the fact that they're not from the same war or right. time at all.
Right. A lot of the numbers, as far as like the money spent by the U.S. during that time or the amount of casualties from the Vietnamese side or the U.S. side are skewed because they're lumped in with other wars that did occur. And she made this clear. She was like, yeah. She broke it down. I was like, here's the deal. If you look at it this way and you look at it this way, you can misconstrue these numbers.
She was also really interesting, and I love getting her point of view because her dad was actually a communist and he was a war photographer, and her mom was very anti-communist. So she kind of grew up with like both sides of the coin, if you will, like both sides of information. So a lot of the photographs actually that are in the museum, her dad took.
Yes.
So there was like this one part of the museum that they had all these photos of people that were supposedly like affected by Agent Orange, which was horrible, right? Absolutely horrifying to see. But what they did, she told us, is they went to these different small towns and just asked people if they were physically disfigured at all, that they should come and let this photographer take photos of them. And they didn't decipher if it was like actually from Agent Orange or maybe it was just like a birth defect that was had nothing to do with Agent Orange. But nonetheless, like all of these photos ended up in this gallery. But there really is no way to know that all of these people that are shown were affected by Agent Orange.
Right. And I thought another fun fact, talking about Agent Orange, but another fact about the photography, since her father was a war photographer, he was present during the day in which the North Vietnamese tanks came and broke through the gate, which is a very famous photo. People know this. This is what, like, quote-unquote, ended the Vietnam War. And he said that they did it 5 times to get the perfect shot for all the war photographers to make it so, like, the newspapers would be, like, this dramatic shot. And actually, they put the gate back up, and they'd knock it down again. And they put it on purpose, right? So this is all kind of staged, even though it did occur. It was just not as dramatic on the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was great. She really, like, she explained to us, like, growing up, you know, what her options were for language classes. We were talking about it, and she said, I'm fluent in Russian. And I said, well, how is that? And she said, well, growing up, we couldn't learn English in school. All we could learn was either Russian or French.
Yeah, after the war, they were like, nope, we're not teaching English in school anymore. Like, we'll teach you the bare minimum, but if you want to learn English, like, you're going to have to pay for it yourself or, like, go elsewhere because we shall not be teaching English in schools anymore because of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I will say, just leaving off on this, like, on this note about our tour, the War Remnants Museum is a must visit, but it is very much like going to the Jewish Museum in Berlin or going to the 9/11 Museum in New York City. Like, it's not an easy experience. Mm. It's extremely graphic, and could be triggering for people, especially those who were involved in any way.
Had to fight in the war or lost family in the war. Yeah, it's a very big thing. She got into or explained to us is the difference between calling it's either Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, which we were very confused about. We were like, what the hell? Like, what should we call it? What is the name of this city?
And she made it very clear. She said, this is Saigon. Because Ho Chi Minh City was known only after the communists came down from the north and reclaimed the entire area of the south, saying, we are now one country, and this southern region, the capital down here, will be called Ho Chi Minh after, you know, the father of Papa of Vietnam.
Of communism.
Of communism. Mm-hmm. So it is, she said, do not call it, you know, you can call what you want. But she said, I will always call it Saigon.
Yeah, it's basically like if you're anti-communist, which it seems like this is glossing over a lot. We'll get into this a little bit more, but a lot of the South is like this very much feels like a country very divided
still.
And so if you are anti-communist, you call the city Saigon. But I think up here where we are now, more in the North, people will definitely call it Ho Chi Minh City.
Yep. And to that, not to add another point, but the name of the war itself. I asked her, I said, should we be calling this the Vietnam War or should we call it the American War, which we've heard more currently in present day, not just being in the country, but, you know, in the past.
You read a book even that they were like calling it that, right?
Yeah, in the past decade or so, they've tried to call it more and more the American War. So she said, no, you know, the communist government is trying to make this appear as though this was an invasion by the Americans, which to some extent it was.
Therefore, she literally was like, they're trying to whitewash this war
and
make it be that the Americans invaded.
Yes.
That's what this was all about.
It had nothing to do with the fact that there was a communist party involved and China was involved and Russia was involved, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So we learned a lot.
So she would prefer that it still be called the Vietnam War.
And Saigon. The other thing, sorry, is that, again, we do these tours occasionally. This was well worth the insight.
Yeah.
If you go on a group tour, they will be very tight-lipped about the government. They will not talk about these things. So I think in this particular case, going with a like personal guide was the right way to go.
For sure. Because she even said, sorry, I feel like we just keep going on, but I just keep like remembering things now. She even said when we were walking around, like, ask me everything now, because once we go in the War Remnants Museum, the people that work there work for the government. She's like, I have to be very careful what I say because they are listening.
They're listening, yeah.
And if I say the wrong thing, like, they know who I am, they know that I'm a guide, and I will get in trouble.
Yep. Very true.
All right. We learned a lot, obviously. It was very, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next day.
Lighter note.
We headed out to one of the more local markets as we were on the hunt for some very horrible and very obvious fake clothing, fake designer goods. Now, you can get really good fakes here. I mean, you can in Chinatown and New York as well, but there are so many on offer and they are really, really good. And actually, we learned that a lot of them might actually be the real deal, but they had like some flaw, and so they get sent to these markets. So they might actually be a Louis Vuitton bag, but it like one seam was wrong or something. So we didn't want the good fakes, though. I wanted something that had 2 to 3 different brands on a single piece of clothing, and we succeeded, right? We got 2 pairs of shorts for $5, which, you know, that's a good deal. One looks like an amazing Louis Vuitton piece of luggage. That is the print that is on it. And the other has Versace logos, Hermes logos, and Loewe logos. So score, 3 logos, 1 pair of shorts. Pretty amazing.
It's all couture, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to think that they're real, for sure. You got some sweet Louis Vuitton sweatshorts,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And you went back even a second time to not get another fake goods, but you wanted a matching.
I got
set.
Shorts and shirt matching. Some might have seen them on our Instagram videos.
Yes. So that night we went down to see the cafe apartments. This is something that we saw on our tour when we met at the end, but we wanted to see it at night all lit up. And this building has been featured on the New York Times. It's pretty popular, and this is because it's a 9-story building, but on the front of it, it has at least 20 different neon signs that advertise all the different businesses inside. So you can go, you pay a small fee to take the elevator up to the 9th floor, and then you walk down, kind of, you can stop at the different like shops and restaurants along the way and get really good views of the square that's in front of the building. So we stopped to have a drink and take in the view from one of these balconies. It was a little precarious. I was like, someone could very easily drop their drink over the edge and kill someone below. This was not the most safe thing.
We were sitting here and we're like, this would never happen. It's one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, this would never happen in the United States.
Because
where you were seating, and then there was like a little bar sort of like where you would put your drinks or food or coffee or whatever. And then
like a 3-inch piece of plexiglass or something.
And that's
like,
all.
That's it.
You could tip a glass over by accident and it would fall 9 stories to the ground. It was pretty Vietnamese. It was awesome.
Yeah. On the walk home, we found a super great bar. It was called Lost and had really, really good cocktails. And it had been a while since we'd had a really good cocktail. So this was very enjoyable. Plus, bonus, it was ladies' night. So my drinks were half off. So that was awesome. The next evening, we had booked a street food tour. This was also through with locals. Mark had, I think, his favorite banh mi sandwich yet.
Ooh, that was great.
Yes. We tried broken rice, which is a very traditional Vietnamese dish. We had we sat on the side street and had papaya salad with beef. And we had pork and rice papers. I think my favorite dish of that tour was the papaya salad, and not just because it was so yummy, but the same family has been making this one dish on the side of the road for a very long time. And they get there at 10 o'clock in the morning. This is all they serve, and they serve it until they run out. And so it's super popular, and there's a rumor that they have made so much money from this dish that they were able to send their kids to school in America. So that was kind of a fun fact to learn.
Yeah. And I will say the price of this dish, I think, was about 50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents to a dollar.
Yeah.
So, and the funniest part was we were watching them make this stuff, and they make it across the street. So the salads are created across like a very busy road, 2-lane road. Mm-hmm. And so when people order the salads, they motion to the people in the quote unquote like kitchen stall. They prep it all. And then this old lady runs across
the traffic.
This old lady plays Frogger across the street, running and dodging cars and motorbikes to bring it over to like where people sit on the side of the road and eat it. And again, 50 cents to a dollar for the plate, you're sending your kids to university in America.
Yep.
It's a lot of plates. It's a lot of dodging. A
lot of plates. And it was great because, you know, you see these things, right, when you're in other countries. And, like, I would have never known to stop or, like, what they were serving.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was one of those great things to experience because we had a local guide.
The following day, we got up. This was our last day in Saigon.
Which was sad. We like Saigon a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we said, listen, we've been walking past all these like massage places and shampoo places. So we decided to indulge a little bit in some self-care. And there was a suggestion from several people, listeners, who said, you have to go and get your hair washed when in Saigon. And
of course, Barbara's like, I barely have any hair. Why the hell would I get my hair washed?
I was like, what are you going to do with this? There's not much to work with. Like, why would I pay to go get my hair washed? This was a life-altering experience. And anybody, regardless if you have hair or not, and I speak for those who don't have so much.
You could be bald and still just love it.
It is an hour-long treatment of your scalp. You get a shoulder massage. I had hot stones in mine. There's a neck massage. And even some include facial treatments.
Yeah.
And you're literally lying down on your back
this
whole time.
You're in a shampoo bowl.
Yeah, but not like in the U.S. where you go to like a barber or a hair salon and you like, you know, sit in a chair and you like lie your neck back. This was like a horizontal table, like a massage table.
Yeah.
and the water just falls into a bowl underneath your head. So you don't feel any of the water, you know, it doesn't get down your back or anywhere like that.
It was amazing.
It was, like I said, a life-altering experience. I fell asleep during it. We both had our hair washed. Jonica also got a gel pedicure. Mm-hmm. All said and done, for the 2-hour-long hair wash slash massages and the pedicure, it was $35.
$35 US. Yep.
And as I previously mentioned, we also went back to get our favorite spring rolls.
The best spring rolls in the world.
Back to Spice Viet again, once again. What a great day. It was a great last day in Saigon.
Yeah.
We were heading out to the island of Phu Quoc, just off the coast of Cambodia. While still part of Vietnam, it's very easy to get to by plane. It was a 30-minute ride, to be exact, from takeoff to landing.
Yep. You blink, you're up, you're down, done.
You can do this by car or ferry. What we saw is it takes about 12 to 14 hours to do this, so we opted for the 30-minute flight, clearly.
It was very affordable, too, I want to say the flight was.
It was 50 bucks.
I think it was 50 bucks each way, yeah.
Yep. There are several options on the island for accommodation. It's not, you know, this is not some, like, secret. It's very well built up by this point in time.
Very touristy.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. We got super lucky, and we chose to stay at the Lahana Resort, which is across the street from the beach. It's mm-hmm. not right on the water, mm-mm. but it's sort of up in the jungle. It's this, like, picturesque hotel. We had our own little bungalow, like, yeah. overlooking the sea, very far away, nonetheless. But, like, you got great views. There was a horizon pool that you could just, like, lap in and look at the ocean and watch the sunset. We dropped our bags, and we headed out for dinner at the local night market. This beat our expectations as well.
This was a good night market.
Yeah, usually these are kind of hokey, meaning they sell tchotchkes and stuff like that at these markets, like t-shirts and counterfeit bags. And
I think we both have wanted like a really cool night market experience, because I think both of us, you know, in past travels have had that. But I think night markets have changed, and they do seem to be primarily just like tourist traps that just sell, like you were just saying, like souvenirs, essentially.
Yeah. I think that makes more money.
Yeah.
It's more dependable.
Than the food. We were kind of looking for food night markets, and this turned out to be one, which was very unexpected because this was a very touristy island.
Yep. So just to put like a visual here, you walk into this night market, and as anybody knows, that's like a regular street with like fluorescent lights for like the food stalls and all that. But because this one's so close to the ocean, they're really big into seafood. And so both sides of the street are lined with these like, oxygenated bubbling tanks of
walls of them.
Yeah. And you name it, it's in a tank.
Yeah.
Like they have grouper, they have crab, they have snails, they have
the biggest lobsters I've ever seen.
They have like eels, they have like anything that more
different weird bivalve things, which I don't even
pisses. They have pissa clams.
I mean, I don't even think that's what they are. That's what they are on the East Coast. But yeah. These are like massive.
They had all different types of clams, yeah. Like any type of thing that comes from the ocean that could fit in a tank.
You can get it.
They had,
and they will grill it up for you.
Yeah, yeah. We stopped first before we had any seafood, and we got some of those are the best skewers we've had as well. These are, I don't know the name in Vietnamese, but it's ground beef wrapped in a betel leaf, which is sort of like a shiso sort of basil type leaf.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
Yeah. We've discovered these in Vietnam, and we've been getting them everywhere we went mm-hmm. since. As we talked about the fish, forget about it. These things were insane. We got like these huge, I don't even know if you would call them, like, it was a type of clam or snail, but it was in a shell the size of my fist. It was huge.
Yeah.
And we had some of those grilled up.
Yep.
We had some shrimps grilled up.
Yep.
It was, like, one of these, like, only in Asia sort of wet market environments that we got to
eat. Yeah, it's amazing. They give you gloves so your hands don't get all gross as you're peeling the things. And, yeah, everything comes over as it's done. So sometimes you're waiting a while for that certain dish to be ready. But it doesn't matter because, to your next point, the people watching one of the best things about these markets.
There's people who can devour seafood without any hesitation.
They chew.
And then there are some that don't know what they're doing at all. Like we saw all sorts of crazy stuff, like cheese on lobster and all sorts of weird shit.
I love cheese on lobster here. It's disgusting. Sorry. That is one of the food things I don't agree with.
It was,
like, you're spending all this money on this massive lobster, and then you just put a lot of cheese on it. I'm sorry, I don't think that Vietnam is also known for their cheese.
No.
So
no.
You're putting, I'm using air quotes when I say cheese on it.
Yeah, no camembert here. So really cool night at the market. It was here also on the island of Phu Quoc that we decided to, again, rent a scooter and explore the less like busy parts of the island.
Get out.
Get out of the town center. We took the bike and went, and we wanted to initially, we were heading towards the national park. We were going to do like this like hike into the park to see a waterfall, but we were going to start the day by driving out to Starfish Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of, you arrive at the coast and they are like, okay, you need to take a boat to get to Starfish Beach.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing is, too, this part is, like, these are, you read about these fishing villages, right? So these people have built, they live on the water, literally, like,
in... On stilts.
On stilts. Yep. And these houses over the water. And so you walk out on these very narrow docks to these, you know, there's some restaurants, there's some houses. But, yeah, you have to go there to take a boat to the beach that we wanted to go to.
And it was super cool because once you like you said... The housing is basically, it is really their home. Like, it's clearly where they live. And my question was, what about the sewage?
Where it goes. Just goes right down into, it becomes fish food.
We didn't eat any of the seafood at the island.
Well, I love that you think that's the only place that happens. It's like a lot of the world. You know that.
But we did get to Starfish Beach. It's cool. It's like pristine, obviously. And it's just the whole shoreline as you're swimming in it is just orange starfish.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Tons and tons of starfish. It's a little sad because they go out and, like, you know, this is their thing, right? It's called Starfish Beach. So they go and they gather their starfish every so often and put them very close to the shore. And the starfish then try to escape and, like, get away from each other. So we never went to where they, like, gathered all of them up. But we kind of, like, walked down the beach quite a ways where some of the escapees were. But it was a very beautiful beach, like incredible crystal clear waters that were just like glass and every so often a starfish. It was really beautiful.
We'll edit out the part about the starfish because PETA will be all over our ass.
We
didn't touch them.
No.
Some people did. We did not.
No.
All said and done, like we by the time we got back to our motorbike from Starfish Beach, we were looking at our watch and we're like, oh my gosh, like the day's like come and gone. We didn't even get to half the places we wanted to go that day.
Well, it had taken us, what, over an hour, right? From our hotel to get to the boat place to go to the beach, then coming back. So we were on that motorbike a lot that day. Like, my ass hurt.
All well worth it, though. I think we were on Phu Quoc for, it was short. We were there for 3 nights.
Yeah.
And
the first day we got there pretty late. So,
yeah. Major takeaways from the island itself is that it's nice. It's a very, you know, decent island being a short 40 minutes from Saigon.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, no big deal. You can get there in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Food wasn't anything to write home about aside from the seafood and the night market experience.
Yeah.
One of the things that we discovered when we were on Phu Quoc, this is a first for us, there is a significant contingent of Russians.
Yeah, a lot of Russian tourists. And this is not the first time that we will encounter this on this trip.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. And when we say this, I don't mean... you know, not to offend any of our Russian listeners.
Well, because of the commonalities in their beliefs, let's say, in the communist regime, there, I think that that's why a lot of Russians end up coming to Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all the signs were in Russian.
Yeah.
And menus were all in Russian. And we thought about this and we were like, why, you know, this is so strange. Why is this? And then you kind of put it in perspective and you're like, well, most Russians don't have the opportunity to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just like when you go to a foreign country and you don't speak the native language, you get a menu and you're like relieved that it's in English. And I think that's the same perspective, like the feelings that they would have.
Yeah.
They're like, finally, I can read a menu.
Or thank God for Google Translate.
Yep.
Like, that's been huge here because, again, because of, I think, the Vietnam War and other things, like, there are people don't speak English here a lot. This has been one of the more challenging places for us as far as being English speakers.
Yep. And that's good. That's a good change. So listen, like we said, good time.
We loved it.
Yeah. Loved the island. But after that, you know, we were on our way off.
After a couple days on the island, we flew back to Saigon. But before we get into our next destination, we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back. Episode 15. We are discussing our time in the southern part of Vietnam. We are flying from Phu Quoc to Saigon. Our flight got changed, and so we ended up landing in Saigon much earlier than expected. So we immediately headed to the bus station, which is a huge bus station, about 40 minutes from the airport. So definitely outside of the main city center of Saigon. And our hope here was to get on an earlier bus to our next destination. The stars thankfully aligned, and a few short hours later, after some lunch, we were on a sleeper bus heading 4 hours up the coast to Mui Ne.
That's right.
Yes, yep. I always say Mui Ne. It's Mui Ne. This was our first time on a sleeper bus. And if you are not familiar, most of these are three rows of double-decker reclining chairs. Some are fancier than others, and some of them you fit better in than others. This one that we went on for the first time was through Futa, which is a very big brand here. And it was on the lower end of space and amenities, but they're insanely affordable and overall a very comfortable way to travel. I think our tickets were $7.50 each.
Yeah, you can, it's, and like the price to get a better bus is pretty nominal.
Yeah.
It's like $10 if you want a really nice VIP one, or like $7.50 if you want like a semi shitty one.
Things we've learned along the way.
Yeah.
Because both of us, like, we were too tall for these seats. Like, both of us, our feet were hitting. We were having flashbacks to being in PD. And we're not tall people, again. But we're a lot taller than a lot of people here, so.
We also lucked out because it wasn't that far.
No, like, no, it was only 4 hours. It was not a 9-12 hour ride, which a lot of people do.
But a good way to travel, I will say.
Yeah, it's great. It's
sort of like being in a coffin.
There are no bathrooms on these buses. But they do make one stop about halfway through. But again, another nightmare situation for me. And so before getting on that bus, I maxed out my daily allotment of Imodium just to ensure that I had a nice stress-free ride. The bus dropped us right in front of our hotel, which was a very nice surprise. Didn't think that was going to happen. We stayed at the Sun Sea Resort. And this is actually right in the middle of Mui Ne. Mui Ne. Damn it. And Phan Thiet. These are like kind of two big coastal towns. It was later again. It was dinner time. So we went out to grab a bite and ended up across the road and down a bit at the Sunset Restaurant. No clue why it's called that, because it is not on the beach, nor could you see any part of the sunset ever from where you were. But it was a great family-owned restaurant. The owner was super sweet, came over and talked to us a lot. Farber got frogs.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Frogs.
Yeah, not frog legs, per se. Those were included, but the whole rest of the body was included.
Whole frog, yeah. And we both had frog legs before, but these were the whole buddies.
Yep.
They were interesting. I mean, they don't have a ton of flavor to them. A little bit like a very, very lean chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. They were like a chili garlic sauce and stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. It's not, you know, not like the French version, if you will, but also tasty.
Yeah, it was fine. This area of Vietnam is super famous for kite surfing because it is windy all the time, which makes it ideal for waves. Farber has always wanted to learn, but we unfortunately thus far have never been in a place long enough for you to actually do it. But I think this probably ended up being a good thing because those waves were pretty intense. I feel like for learning, it was kind of a...
It was a blessing in disguise.
It was a big spot.
I would have gotten handed to, for sure.
Yes, you would have. That's for sure. Unfortunately, most of the beaches in this area have eroded almost completely. So it's still a beautiful destination. It's super fun to go and watch the kite surfers, but it's not really a great beach destination, if you will. There was, however, we found one evening, one bay that was protected and perfect for going and watching the sunset. And there were a lot of families out there playing in the water and stuff. So that was really fun. One day, oh God, I'm not going to be able to say this. You're going to have to help me again. We rented a scooter to explore more of this area because there's a lot of like historical sites and stuff that we wanted to go see. And so we first stopped at
Pashanocham Tower.
Thank you. They are up on top of this hill. And so you have this beautiful view of the ocean, but these are temples.
Yeah, they're like a sort of Cambodian, like Siem Reap stuff.
No. There's just a couple of them.
But, of that era type.
Yeah, but they survived. They did not get destroyed during the war, which was interesting because we kept going down this road, and they don't tell you that you'll see these like bunkers, essentially, in the same area, because since you are on this top of this hill that looks right down into the ocean, it makes a perfect spot, obviously, for spotting enemy ships. And so there were a lot of abandoned bunkers up there as well.
That was not highlighted as part of the ruins.
No, but they were there. And so after that, we drove to the ferry stream, which was a very interesting experience, I will say. As we mentioned, there's not a ton of English that is spoken by the majority of Vietnamese people. And so we got to this place and we kind of just had no idea what to do. We parked the bike. We went down. She pointed to this sign where it's like, you pay and you leave your shoes. And when you come back, there's a toilet and you can rinse your feet. And so we're like, okay. And so we just left our shoes and you get into this stream, which at this point in time is actually kind of more of just a trickle because there's been no rain. And so you just start walking down this stream bed barefoot. But along the way, there are these huge white and orange sandstone formations and sand dunes. It looks like you're in Utah. It's kind of crazy. Like I don't know where else or if there's anywhere else in the country that has this. It's really beautiful. But as you continue along, the water gets deeper. And to us, I think it got to about our mid-thigh. And when it got deeper, you couldn't see
through the water. It gets darker, too.
It's very cloudy. And Javi's just like, oh, my God, what the hell's down here? You know there's snakes in this country. Like, you know there are things that could be in this water. But thank God we didn't come across anything. We got through the murky deep water, and after a short time you reach the end, which is literally just comes to an end of this rock wall, and there is a trickle of a waterfall. And so turned around, walked back. It was cool. It was weird. Really glad neither of us cut our foot, because that would have been bad, real bad in that water. But as we were leaving, there was like 3 or 4 huge tour buses that pulled up, just packed full of people. And so we would not have done it at that point if we would have like pulled up at that moment, because there were so many people walking out as we were walking back in. So perfect timing.
Yeah, I think if we would have seen the tour buses, we would have said, nah, I'm a pass on this, just because the creek bed was like 4 feet wide, maybe.
Yeah.
It was not built for this.
No, and these tours had like speakers playing like music and stuff. I was just like, what the hell are you guys doing?
It was a good experience to do independently with just the two of us. All right, so after our little walk through the ferry stream, we were on our way to get some lunch here. And
jumped back on the bike.
And we were on our way to Mr. Crab, which is a in Mui Ne. This is a good renown. There's a few of them, and they're always like overlooking the ocean, and the seafood oriented. Clearly, we decided we were going to get some baked or grilled oysters, 2 blue crabs, water spinach, and 2 servings of the grilled king prawns, and a couple of beers to wash all this down.
Oh my God, the grilled king prawns! Those were so good.
It was easily the most expensive meal we had eaten so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like $46 US, but it was huge and enough to suffice us for the whole day. So no other meals needed. I consider this pretty much a bargain.
Yeah.
2 meals in one.
For sure. We do that a lot because it's like, it's hot. You don't need to eat that much. A lot of times we're like, we're doing things, we lose track of time, and all of a sudden we're eating lunch at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so then you don't really need anything else.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So another way that we're losing those Filipino pounds.
After our few days in Mui Ne, it was time to get onto our second sleeper bus and onto our next destination about 5.5 hours away. And this was the city of Nha Tran.
Yeah.
departing our hotel for the bus station, it was like this, like, to-do.
Oh, my God. I had gotten this email, right, from the bus company, and we knew that the bus was supposed to leave at, I think it was, like, 1 o'clock or something, right? But for some reason, the email that they sent me said 7:30. And I was like, well, there's no way it's leaving at 7:30 because they didn't send it until 7. But I think that that's kind of where the stress started.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't really sure what to do with this. So we took the image from your phone and we showed it to the front desk at the hotel. We're like, we just want to make sure this is the right place and this is the bus number, et cetera, et cetera. And this wasn't necessarily like related to stress on our part. It was just the hotel staff kind of began to stress a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're going to call the bus company. And we were like, okay, you know, we know where we're supposed to meet.
We had the address. We knew where to go. They were like, it's not going to pick you up here. And we're like, yeah, we're aware of that. Like, that's fine.
So they're like, you need to take a cab to get there. And we're like, we know. It's like 17 minutes away. We know.
We've allotted more than enough time to get there and stand on the side of the road waiting.
So the cab driver gets wind of this from the front desk at the hotel that, like, there could be an issue with their bus, da-da-da-da. So he calls the bus driver. Somehow he calls the bus company.
Multiple times.
And he starts asking, like, what's the license plate number for the bus? Because that corresponds to your ticket, which bus you're supposed to get on. Clear enough. Then he, like, turns around and looks at me as he's on the phone and then goes back and begins to tell the bus driver what I'm wearing so that when he sees us on the side of the road, he knows who he has to pick up.
Yep.
And they're like, don't take any...
Any other bus.
Like, don't take any invitations from any other bus drivers.
They will flag you down and try to get you to get on their bus. Don't get on their bus. And we're like, okay, we're not going to get on some random bus. Cool. Okay.
At the end of the day, not a single person asked us to get on another bus. The bus pickup was right where it said it was going to be.
Yep.
It wasn't very difficult.
Nope.
It was. They just got super detailed and over concerned.
And also, like, how many other gringos were, like, waiting on the side of the road at this point?
Yeah.
None. But it's fine.
But yeah. Like
It was very sweet of them. Like, they were very concerned that we were going to mess this up. And that why weren't we getting picked up at the hotel and blah, blah, blah. But it was great.
I also was like, what the fuck? How do you think I got here?
Well, that was a bus station. You didn't have to stand on the side of the road and wait for the certain bus.
We've made it this far.
I know. It's not our first rodeo. But still, it was very nice of them to be so concerned.
Lucky for us, actually, this bus we'd paid a little bit more for, and it was quite an upgrade.
Yeah, it was really nice.
First, it was a longer ride, right? It was 5.5 hours. But this seat had seats
more than enough room.
More than enough room. You could put your feet all the way down without getting pushed. Mm-hmm. It had air conditioning in mine, because the previous bus did not in my little cabin. Yours did.
Yep.
It was a middle seat, which no big deal, because you had drapes on either side for privacy.
Yeah, it was like your own private little cabin. Little
coffin thing.
Yeah.
I think, it was $25 each, I think. Maybe $25 a piece or $25 together?
I think 25 total.
I think it was 25. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're talking an upgrade from $7.50 to $14.50. Mm-hmm. Totally worth it, in my mind. Jonica was suffering from a mild case of food poisoning from our time at Mr. Crab the day before, but, you know, we were on a much upgraded bus, so made it through.
Yeah. I blame those oysters. That's what I think it was. It was, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another with me. And so this time it wasn't the other. It was a new thing. So I was so nauseous. And at one point I was like, if I have to throw up, do I throw up in the bag that they give you to put your shoes in? Like, what do I do? What do I do? So I didn't throw up, though. I just felt like I was going to many, many times. But I pushed through.
You did great. And
pushed through.
And we were on our way. Tenatron. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that awesome city, let's take a little quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Jonica and Mark, and it is episode 15 of Address Unknown. We are on our sleeper bus making our way up the east coast of central Vietnam. We are heading towards the beautiful city of Nha Trang. Honestly, we didn't conduct a ton of research on the town of Nha Trang in advance. We knew we were going, but not so much what to do. No particular reason, but it came up on a trip sooner than we anticipated.
Yeah, I think we heard a lot of mixed things, right? And a lot of people were like, I don't know if I should go there. Like, the people say bad things about it. Some people like it. Some people don't. But frankly, we just needed somewhere to stop.
Because it was too far between cities. Yeah.
I don't want to do, I'm sorry, I don't want to do a 12-hour sleeper bus. Like, that's just far too long on a bus. And thank God we didn't, honestly, because I was feeling like death. So we got to not drink.
Yep. And honestly, it was well worth the stopover.
We liked it.
It was really cool. It is tourist. There is a big tourist destination for Russians again.
Yep.
And Koreans and lots of Chinese tourists as well. So it's busy with tourism. But it reminded us a lot of like Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
It has all
beautiful beaches.
It does have a bunch of hotels over, like right on the shoreline.
Clubs.
Lots of nightclubs, that sort of thing. But the water's calm. There's lots of people watching to be had.
Mm-hmm.
We also found it to be, you know, a little bit of a party town.
Party. Yep, sure was. You went out for a run one morning. You said there were like a group of people still
partying.
Obviously out from the night before having some beers on the beach.
Yep. I mean, listen, it's like a lot of, you know, rooftop bars, DJs, a lot of bottle service type situations.
We did that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. So one thing I will note, which we were not prepared for, And we sort of got, like, you know, a pre-lesson, if you will, when we were in Fuqua, was that pre-COVID, like starting roughly 10 years ago, it was inundated with mm-hmm. Russians, some involved with organized crime and some not. Chinese also potentially involved with organized crime and some not. And then, like, Korean visitors began, like, they sort of, like, focusing on this as a gateway town. I actually read, like, because I was like, why? What's the deal with all these Russians here again? And so I read that there was literally 700 flights a year from Russia to Natrang
because
there's an international airport there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's lots of Russian.
It's a big city.
It is a big city. There's mm-hmm. like lots of Russian-centric bars, lots of signage again in Russian. The menus come in three languages. You get your English, you get your Russian, you get your Korean,
and then you can get freaking borscht.
You can get borscht there. Yep. So
it's 100 degrees, but hey, why not have some borscht?
We're sort of painting the picture here of what to expect, I guess.
but it wasn't bad. It was not bad at all.
Yeah. Listen, the Central District is super cool. It covers like this whole area that offers all sorts of restaurants and massages and like hair salons and that type of thing. There's some really, you know, great affordable Vietnamese food. You got to search for it among the other.
They're a little bit like far out.
Yep.
I mean, there's some good ones. They're not so good. The ones that are like close to the city center, but like we found some good options. But you have to search for it.
Yep. We had like again some great taro beef salads.
Oh, so good.
These have like become our favorite, obviously after the spring rolls, etc., etc. We went to several restaurants that offer these like large plates.
Oh my God, this is our new favorite thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're bringing these stateside.
We don't know what they're called. We've tried to ask people and it varies by region.
Yeah.
Essentially think of like a 15-inch
platter.
Yep. And it has your greens. So you get like your basil, your
shiso
leaf, you get your lettuce, and then you get like your mung bean.
You get like mustard greens too. Like there's a bunch of different greens that you get.
And none of this,
every place is different too.
Yeah. And like none of this is gonna be like off the grid for people who've been to like a Vietnamese restaurant in the States. Like, you get a lot of greens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you get the vermicelli noodles.
Which come in different forms, too, depending on where you are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You get different cured meats. You can either get, like, pork belly. We had that.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I would call it, like, a meat roll, for lack of better words. It's like a sausage, but not dense like an Italian
mm-hmm.
sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Some have mango slice, like Julian mango.
Mm-hmm.
Some have egg.
But not like the one that you normally eat like for breakfast.
The green
it's
one.
Like it's the cooking one.
Yep.
It's like thicker and more sour.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do is you take the ingredients that you wish to have and then you roll them in rice paper. Different than rice paper that you use for like a traditional egg rolls.
I have never experienced this rice paper before. You can roll it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to get it wet.
Nope.
And it doesn't break. And you dip it in your sauce. And again, every place has different sauce. Our favorite is the fish sauce with some chilies in it. But, and then the sauce like softens it a bit so you can tear it. But I have never had this texture of rice paper before. And it's incredible.
And the benefit, and we've seen throughout the country in our time here, it's in every region.
Mm-hmm.
It just varies by what the ingredients are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. You kind of make like your own little mini burrito.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and you like dress it up how you want.
However you want. And being gluten intolerant, I mean, this country for people that are gluten free, it's just amazing because they don't use gluten. Everything is rice and tapioca. They don't use gluten in like anything. The only thing I can't eat are banh mi sandwiches. Like
missing out huge there.
I know I am. Thank you. But that's it, which is just amazing. Yeah.
These plates have been, again, it's like not even a specific dish or plate. It's just a style of eating. It's been great.
It's incredible.
Activity-wise, for the city of Nha Trang, I was a little fired up because after witnessing the kite surfing in Mui Ne, Jonica wouldn't let me do, I was having some serious FOMO. Like, I was really irking to get in some water sports. Mm-hmm. And lucky for me, they have some great surfing beaches like 20 minutes south of Nha Trang.
And guess what this meant? This meant Jonica got some alone time, too, which was also...
Twice. You get 2 days.
Much needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like the water is great for beginners. The waves are like real, you know, reasonable. Also for me, some seasoned riders alike, but I thought it was great for learning. I'm still on the learning curve here. We also discovered the strangest fabricated resort called Vin Pearl, which is located on an island off the coast of Nha Trang. Mm-hmm. You actually, to get there, you get in
it's like a gondola.
Yeah. And it's an 8-minute ride. Which is essentially, like Jonica said, a 6-person gondola. It's actually, the manufacturer is the same one that makes the gondolas in the Rocky Mountain, like, ski resorts. Mm-hmm. And
you go over the ocean.
You go over the ocean. And we found this place to be...
It's coming soon.
Not ready yet. A lot of there's sort of like 2 to 3 story fabricated buildings that are made to look like these, like, European villages or like, Gothic... medieval castles.
So weird.
We have some video and some like photos of these, which we should probably post on the site. Mm-hmm. But you know, the only things that were occupied were like the first floors, and only a few of them had shops, so it wasn't really ready yet. It did just open in January 2024, so to be fair, I think they were conducting a soft opening.
Yes.
One thing I learned.
Yeah, we basically got invited to like the pre-party, right?
Pre-party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was not for 2 single adults in their 40s, I'll tell you that. It was for children. This was like a Disney World.
It was weird. I mean, I don't even know if it was for children yet, because there's like nothing to do.
It was weird. But it was funny. The one thing we were like, what is this? Like, who develops this?
Well, because so, we've noticed.
Yeah, we've noticed. So I looked into this. And a little disclosure here. There's a company in Vietnam called the Vin Group. And they developed Vin Pearl, which is a stream of hotels.
It's like every city you're in has probably 3 Vin Pearl hotels if it's a larger city.
Yeah. Vin Group is Vietnam's largest real estate company, and it has deals worldwide, which like range from hotels, clearly, shopping malls, resorts, golf courses, and hospitals. Interestingly enough, it's also the parent company of VinFast, which is Vietnam's version of the Tesla company.
This is another thing we're bringing states. We love these cars.
Yeah, it's a car called VinFast, and it looks very similar to a Tesla. Mm-hmm. They're very much more affordable, I'm going to assume. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, my little tidbit about the Vin Group's over. The CEO is the richest man in the country, right? So,
well, it makes sense when the name is literally everywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's basically like I thought about like Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, and like Jeff Bezos wrapped into a single person. Mm-hmm. Devil reincarnated. But he owns just about everything.
Yep.
One thing that is not on short order here is pampering services.
Gotta get them.
They line the streets of this town, right next to the restaurants, the fruit stalls, and the bars.
It's like every city here. Like, it's a big thing.
So one night, rather than going on yet another rooftop, we elected to visit one of our foot and leg massage places. Mm-hmm. So we both got 60-minute leg and foot massages.
Yep. Basically, like, sit in a pedicure chair.
Yeah.
But you're not... You just, like, soak your feet in water for the first couple minutes to, like, basically clean them, because they know you're walking around in sandals.
Yeah.
But after that, yeah, it's just 60 minutes of rubbing on your calves and feet.
Culminates with a mango smoothie, all for $7.
$7.
We had a great time.
It was amazing. Fell asleep. Had some amazing people watching in there too, but we won't get into that.
We were prepping to leave, and so we gotta get this taxi. We were going one last place before we left.
We needed more pampering, so we were going to get massages.
This was Jonica's like closest thing to like a New York moment here. It was a little frightening. So we we get in the cab. It's a VinFast.
Well, no, we had a miscommunication. Let's start out that way, right? So I was trying to get a Grab, which is like Uber here, right? So yes. I was trying to get a Grab, and so I had gotten a Grab, and they just confirmed it. And you ran outside because you saw VinFast, and so you flagged him down. So I immediately, as one does, canceled my Grab, because how many times have you canceled your Uber? Like, literally right away, like 2 seconds after he confirmed it, I canceled it. And so we're getting in the VinFast.
Yeah, we literally just sat down, butts on the seat, and a driver comes.
The Grab driver
comes front of the car, like, drives right up to the VinFast, jumps out of his driver's seat. Jumps out of the driver's seat, comes over and starts yelling at the VinFast driver. And he has what is clearly a baton of some sort wrapped in newspaper. Mm-hmm. And he's hitting the window on the driver's side, yelling at our driver.
And screaming.
This is unusual for this country that people are like...
There's not a lot of confrontation that happens.
So we're like, oh my God. And we're like, and then he finally like yells and yells. He hits the windshield. Nothing breaks, but it's very threatening. And then we're like, okay, it's over. He's going back to his car. So we're like,
and he also is taking pictures of our driver and pictures of his like license plate.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, we know kind of what. There's a dispute. We don't know why. We think it's because they're competing companies. We don't know. So we're sitting there. I'm like, all right, it's over. Nope. The Grab driver comes back this time with a can of mace. Mm-hmm. And he's like threatening to spray it in the car at the driver, at no time were we threatened like physically. I'll be very clear about that, but that was enough at that point. I was like, Jonica, let's get out. We opened the door, left that scene, and like walked down the street, and
everyone's staring. Like everyone's like, what is happening?
Kind of chalked it up to like a cabbie fight in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, like an Uber driver versus like a yellow cab driver, and they like hate each other because they're taking away each other's business.
I was just trying to go get a massage. Like, I wasn't trying to get maced in the face. Ugh, you know?
God, it was one of the like more frightening occurrences on the trip that we're like...
Anyway, he finally drove away. We went back to the VinFast. We got in and we
got
our massages.
Yeah, done.
All right. So let's take a real quick break before we talk about our loves and learns for part one of our time in Vietnam. All right, Farber, what, pray tell, is your love?
Oh, it's the transportation. And that's a general, like, why? You know, that's a big overarching.
Yeah, it's very broad.
Very broad term, right? I think the Vietnamese have really dialed in on the use of the plane, the train, the bus, and the motorbike. And I say that because you can get just about anywhere at any time of day between what is roughly like $1 to 50 US dollars. Like, you can get on a motorbike any time of day on the back, and like on the Grab, and these drivers will take you anywhere. You can take a train. We talked about the sleeper buses. There are electric cabs. There are motorbike taxis. There are pedicabs for those who want that nostalgia of riding in front of a man pedaling a bike down the road. Mm-hmm. The sleeper buses, as we talked about previously, the sleeper trains that you can go on, they go low end to high end as far as price is concerned. And like with all these modes of transportation, yeah, there's a lot of like chaotic traffic, but somehow the Vietnamese tend to get through it without ever bumping into one another.
Yeah, we've only seen one almost accident.
Yeah, it's a weird symphony.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. The feeling. They have the feeling.
That's what they call it. It's called the quote-unquote feeling.
They told us that in Indonesia. Remember, that wasn't even here. Because we were like, how do you not get in an accident? He's like, you have to have the feeling. And so now we just use it everywhere we go. We're like, oh. Even when we're crossing the street, we're like, all right, do you have the feeling? And then we'll cross the street.
Yeah, I mean, our feeling coming from the U.S. is, you know, stoplights and merging. But they don't have that so much here.
Walk signs don't really mean a whole lot here.
It's just mystifying to watch. So, I'm going to go with the vehicles.
All right. So then what's your learn?
I think this was like going back to the war, I guess. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but the Vietnam War was clearly before our lifetime. We weren't even born.
No.
When this occurred, it's very interesting to get like the perspectives of people, especially as you go from one part of the country north, let's say, to south or vice versa, is that this was really a war not among America and Vietnam, but between the North.
It was, but there was like a whole other layer that we didn't really know about.
We didn't know that actually it was between the North and the South of the country. And it was the communism coming from the North, forcing the South to become communists who didn't want to be.
Yes.
So,
and still don't want to be.
So that was really like, I think, my learn. I mean, from our perspectives, I think I speak for both of us, it does appear that the Vietnamese really want us to move on from this. And they have, very much so. It's not talked about anywhere else.
No.
Nor is it like a big deal anywhere else. No one makes any sort of like note of it.
No. I think that they would be, and again, this is a very big blanket statement, and maybe people would be like, you're totally wrong, but I think that they would be very happy to become two different countries.
I think that's true.
Yes.
I think that's the, again, a blanket statement, but also just what we've, in talking to people from here. So
I think especially the South would like to not be a part of the North. Yeah. I don't know how much the North feels that way.
Because the North already took over. They're not worried.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
So sorry, elongated learn, but that is my...
Well, you didn't do two this time, because normally that's what you do. So
anyway,
I count that as a win.
Anyway, Jonica,
uh-huh.
Let's do it in less than two. What is your love?
All right, I'm not going to say food because that's too obvious. It's too easy, and I've been talking about it incessantly. This is not going to be a shocker, though, either. I am loving all the pampering services. Along the way, I've gotten manicures. I've gotten pedicures. But we got an amazing facial in Manila. We got a great massage in El Nido. I mean, so again, we're not lacking for services. But the treatments that we have gotten here have been not only far more amazing, I think, and just like the time and care that they take, but also they are just incredibly affordable. Like it just blows my mind that you can get your legs and feet rubbed for an hour with a mango smoothie for $7. I've had to hold myself back from going and getting my hair washed or something massaged and rubbed every single day because it's just so incredible. I feel very lucky.
I know a couple listeners right now are thinking to themselves, these two people have no stress in their lives. They have no job. They have no responsibilities other than themselves.
I only have stress when it's a long-term commute with no bathroom.
They have no children. What the hell do they need pampering for? What stress are they trying to relieve?
I don't think one should need pampering. I think
One gets
pampering.
I'm concerned for when we have to return home and Jonica thinks she's going to be pampered this way. It's not happening.
I'm not going to be able to afford it.
Okay, and for our first episode of Vietnam, what is your learn?
Yeah, we've talked about this a bit, so I won't like go on and on about it, but it has been so interesting learning and experiencing being in a communist country. This is both of our first time, right? Like being in a communist country. And honestly, before we came here, I didn't even really think about it. Like it wasn't something that was even in the back of my mind before coming here. And obviously, like, this is a country that for the most part is not as severe as like the things that people have to endure and go through in Russia and North Korea, for example. This seems to be much more behind the curtain, let's say. The government will not really say that they are censoring your Facebook feed, but they are.
Clearly they are.
Yeah. They will not come out and say that they are doctoring your Netflix, but they are. It's been so interesting to me, like the things that I guess you wouldn't know if you lived here, but obviously like coming from the States, like that I noticed right away that there are almost zero American reality shows available here on Netflix. And the other day we were rewatching White Lotus because we had HBO for the first time in forever. And we're like, all right, this is a great show. We just want to chill out and not really think. We've seen it before, but let's do it. And they edited out the most famous, I'll just call it the butt scene.
Okay, from the I would first say season. Homoerotic illustrations.
It's the butt scene. Everyone knows it's the butt scene. There's two butt scenes that they edited out.
Yes.
Those are both gone from the first season. And then they also edited out most of the illustrations from the season two opening credits. And again, if you didn't know that they were there, you would never know that they were gone. But right away, we're just like, what?
You could clearly see they were edited if you knew the show
it was a jump
prior.
Cut, yeah.
You could hear it like jump in the music, like it was spliced, you could tell.
And so while being a homosexual is not technically illegal here, it definitely seems like it's frowned upon, and there are not people that are out in the open about being gay.
Or they
and
want obviously you to see it, yeah.
The way that they are censoring things on Netflix makes me wonder. So I don't know. It's interesting because I'm like, what's better, right? Like, knowing that your government is watching, knowing that they're censoring things, knowing that, like, they're changing what you're going to see, or just being blissfully unaware. I don't have an answer. That's what I'm ending with.
Oh, okay. So, for our listeners, take that for what you will. We will be recording, as we said, another episode for the middle and then the northern part of Vietnam, where we are now. We're in Hanoi. And so that will be episode 16 coming out in a few weeks here or so.
Yeah, we'll see. I have a lot of massaging to get done, so.
Other than that,
all right.
Get at us with questions if you have. You always know you can email us.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Instagram if you have questions.
Yeah. DM us. Drop us a DM. Yeah. Slide in.
Slide into our DMs. And suggestions, maybe.
Okay.
Suggestions on what to do.
All right.
Where to go.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.